Edith Clues, thank you for joining us today. Your most recent book is entitled Russia on Edge, Imagined Geographies and Post-Soviet Identity. In it, you discuss how Russia's geography is important to its national identity. Geography is also key to Russia's defense strategies. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Russia has often ruled by having a large buffer zone around its core part. There are very strong geopolitical reasons for that. Russia is basically situated on the steppe, the plains that have really no natural borders. There are plenty of rivers that go through there, but those are easily taken. Russia worries a great deal about its borders. Now, Ukraine, so Ukraina in Russian, means on the edge. So the very name of Ukraine suggests that Ukraine is a periphery somehow. Russia became Russia first by becoming an empire that controlled lots of different peoples. There are hundreds of ethnic groups, even in today's more skinny down Russia, post-Soviet Russia. Controlling terrain and controlling other peoples has always been central to what it means to be Russian. Russians were, in a sense, the preferred ethnic group at the center of the old Soviet Union. And having other groups that were around them that they controlled, who submitted to Russian rule, was part of being a proud Russian.
Let's talk about Crimea, which has been in the news a lot lately. But this is nothing new. Can you tell us about Russia's long history with Crimea?
Russia gathered its lands in the modern era through a whole number of wars. Crimea is one of the centerpieces of that accumulation of imperial territories. And this we have to go back to the second half of the 18th century. One of the dreams of Catherine the Great was to take back Constantinople from the Turks. Catherine even had a pond or a lake built that had features of the Black Sea. What they did do is to take over Crimea, the peninsula, but they never did reach Constantinople. Skip forward about 80 years to 1853-54, and once again, we find Nicholas I, Tsar Nicholas I, fighting over the Crimea against England and France and Turkey in order, quote-unquote, to protect Russians in Crimea. Does that sound familiar? It sounds like just today, what's happening today. I think the world should remember that Nicholas lost that war. That, I think, goes a little bit to explain why Russians care so desperately about Crimea. It really rankles with a lot of Russians that Khrushchev, who himself was Ukrainian, gave Crimea to Ukraine in 1954, 100 years after the Crimean War.
How is the current situation different from the historical tension between Russia and Ukraine?
While understanding Russia's very clear interest in Ukraine, I think we also have to understand that the world has changed. We are now in an era of post-after empires, and that borders have changed. You can't go back to an empire type of situation. Ukrainians have developed a desire to be their own country. They're showing an ability to be their own nation and their desire for self-determination. And the Russian government simply has to respect that.
We've been hearing a lot about pro-Russian sentiment in both Crimea and eastern Ukraine. But can you explain the nuances in opinion between the two different regions?
The eastern portions of Ukraine are mainly divided between Ukrainian-identifying and Russian-identifying people, and that those Russian-identifying people, by and large, would just as soon stay part of Ukraine. Listeners would want to understand that the situation in Crimea is quite a bit more radicalized than in the eastern industrial parts of Ukraine. Nobody in the East thinks that Ukraine should completely turn its back on Russia and forget trade and just somehow become a part of the European Union and somehow build a wall between Ukraine and Russia. That makes no sense. The question is, how do we guarantee real Ukrainian autonomy in which this multicultural society and multi-political society can survive and thrive? There's no reason why it shouldn't. And Russia should want to have a wealthy, free civil society in Ukraine and not just a little puppet government whom they can control.
How do you think the situation will develop in the next few weeks?
Another part to watch are other coastal areas of Ukraine. Odessa is another area on the southwestern coast of Ukraine that voted for the president who just left the country. And I think it'll be important to watch what happens in Odessa. That's a very strongly multicultural city, but again, with a large Russian-speaking population.
Thank you so much for your time, Edith Clues.